to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time.
Coming to you from the beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, it is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast Booth Stove Crew number 4 and the donations team. I'm Daryl Darnell, your host for today's episode, and I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves, starting with my left.
Sure. I am Heather Hyman from Columbia, South Carolina.
I'm Haley Hyman from Columbia, South Carolina.
I'm Nancy Peabody from San Jose, California.
I'm Michael Behrens Van Heest from Madison, Wisconsin.
Christine Butcher, Clarkston, Michigan.
Landon Butcher from Clarkston, Michigan.
Jendy Nice, Campbell, California.
Hi, I'm Judy Higa from Los Angeles, California.
So we have a full room here. This is, I think, the fourth episode that I've hosted. I also recorded one Monday night, and this is the fullest room we've had. So let's dig in. I want to actually turn the microphone over first to our four newcomers, our first-timers to Now's the Time for Missions, and ask you, what's the one thing that surprised you most about your mission trip to Guatemala so far? We're about halfway through the week or getting close to that. Anything different than what you expected it might be or thought it might be like?
I know for me, and this is Heather, I felt impressed in a positive way that I had heard so many great things about this mission trip from other friends that had come on it. But the reality is, knowing that we're coming to a country that's far from home, I've been, I guess my expectations have been exceeded regarding the organization on how everything, of course, there are things that come up, but it just seems almost like this well-oiled machine that has so many great leaders under, like, the cooperation and connection with Sean, that it just makes it all not only functional and from a process of being effective and staying on timelines, but just really efficient. And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right, that's fine. I am curious about the donation team. You talked about a well-oiled machine, Heather. So all of us, when we come down, we bring these big bags of donations that have clothing from all sizes. You know, some of it are undergarments for the kids, and some of it are outer garments for the kids. There's some hygiene products. There's some arts and crafts supplies. And that has to get sorted by size, by gender, and then figured out how it's going to get distributed. And I don't know how that works. So how does that work? You take all of the donations that all of us bring, and we all help a little bit with the sort, but I don't want to take an ounce of credit for what you guys do. So what happens after we bring it in, and what's your process like? And tell me also about the lives that you're seeing touch, because we'll go into a home of three, you know, families a day if we're lucky, and we'll see maybe 100 kids at VBS, but you're seeing hundreds of families as you're handing out these donations. So I'll just throw it out there. It's a big question. I'm just an innocent person here trying to figure out what your process and what your day is like.
Well, it's very technical. We open the bags and start taking stuff out. And we have all the tables, you know, for those of you who've seen the donations room, we have all the tables set up. We, Jendy, Judy, and I, we talk about, okay, now where's the baby section? Where's the boy section? Where's the girl section? So we figure that out first and try to figure out a flow. And usually it's not a great flow. We usually get a very small room and you just do the best that you can. And it always works. And then we start taking things out. We kind of go by the sizes, but because every manufacturer has a different size for that number, you know, this is a size 10, and it really, instead of a medium, it really looks like a large. So we base it a lot of times, except for the babies, Jendy really has that whole system down by age. But we basically go by if something looks small, grade school age, if something looks middle school age, and if something looks high school age. Mm. So we separate everything. We fold it. We try to make it look presentable and try to make it as efficient as possible. And then after that day is done, the next day we leave on the early bus and we get at the site at 7 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, we start opening up things again and restocking everything. And then we open up about 9 o'clock and we start all over again. So Judy, Jendy, and I, we do the clothing, and there's always a volunteer that does the shoes because the shoes can be a little bit more time-consuming. And having somebody that speaks Spanish, I mean, Judy speaks Spanish, and she's very essential to us in the clothing area as people ask questions. And once they get their shoes, then they're pretty much done. The goal is to give new underwear, new socks, pair of pants, at least, usually we like to give at least a couple of shirts or blouses, brassieres for the girls, they can pick one out, and hopefully there's enough jackets or sweaters, they can have a jacket or sweater. So that's the goal. Sometimes we don't have that, and if we're missing a size on something, we let them pick more of something else. Mm. So they do have quite a bit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I when we rolled up in front of Corazón de los Niños yesterday, there was a line of about 100 families down the block.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, and it just, I mean, we. This is my second year here. Last year when I came, it was a very, very small group. This group is 2.5 times the group that I was with last year. So, which means that donations we were able to bring for that time we were here was much smaller. So when we rolled up yesterday, our first full day of installing stoves, you guys have been at work for 2 hours already, as you just said, and the families are, it's 9 o'clock, as you just said. 9 o'clock is when you start handing those things out. That's also when we show up, and the line was down the block of these families just waiting to get blessed by you guys. It was, all of us were just like, wow, it was amazing.
And they do start lining up at 7, and nobody complains. And you rarely hear the kids say anything either.
The kids never whine about waiting for hours, or they just, you know, find something to do and wait till it's their turn.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. And this would be a good question for everybody, whether you're a first-timer or a veteran, whether you're a stove crew or donation crew. Let's talk about the attitude and the culture that we see here among the Guatemalan people. And I'd love to have maybe some of our noobs answer it first, but what has struck you maybe about what is it about the Guatemalan culture that stands out to you? Anything?
Everyone is so thankful and friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I have a worker come in my home, back in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. We're friendly, of course. Hi, welcome. But then we pretty much leave them to do their thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just struck with how interested they are in what we're doing, how quick they are to offer a tool or to just be right in the mix of it. And I just think that's really neat.
Yeah.
I know today during VBS, when I was helping with crafts, and we have, of course, so many volunteers, right? And sometimes it seems like, oh, all the other volunteers are down there. But it's just something that was as simple as I was passing out 4 almost like cupcake holder things to each child. And without asking, with no prompting, no like eye contact, that I hope I didn't look distressed. I think I had a smile on my face, like this little girl that was maybe 7 or 8 years old. And she came up to me and she spoke no English, but she was basically like, let me help you. And I'm just like, it just like caught me off guard for a second. And I'm like, sure. And she just had the biggest smile on her face. And it almost was like it brought her just as much joy to know that she was being like a help to what was actually happening at the VBS. And here we are trying to create this like fun craft experience for them. And it just seemed like it felt very natural for her to just come over and just like want to just chip in.
Yeah, that's a great story.
I think the one thing I notice a lot about everyone here is that they're so gracious. Mm-hmm. You know, the smallest thing we do, you know, just giving somebody socks, it's like they're just so gracious and appreciative. And everybody that walks out the door after their donation, you know, says, God bless you. And you know, where in the United States do you go and people say, God bless you every single time they see you?
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's different.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Definitely a warmth that is just, my first time here, I was just overwhelmed by the warmth of the people. And now I'm like, yay, get to see him again, you know. And now when you do get to come back, you, a lot of times we'll go to the same place for a couple of years in a row until their needs have been met. And then we get to go to new places. So if you do come back, you can see some of the people you saw the year before. And that's absolutely wonderful to have that recognition. And we don't know how to speak to each other, but we hug each other, we greet each other.
Mm.
And it's really just a wonderful experience.
Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. I love the friendliness. I grew up in a very small town. I graduated with around 35 people. So it was small enough where you still wave to people as you pass them on the street, you know. This is that, like, to the 10th degree, you know. Everyone speaks to you and tells you to have a good day or something to that effect. I mean, it's a very friendly place. What about the homes? What are some of the differences that you've observed as you've, I guess this one would be for the stove crew here, differences between the homes in Guatemala and the homes that we see in the United States? Anything stick out?
But of the entire week, I don't know that we've been into a single home that just one family lived there. So it's often you walk through, I guess, what you call the front yard, and it's often just stepping into a courtyard. There's a series of smaller buildings where the living and the cooking and all of the different parts of the day-to-day life happen. But it frequently is the case where grandma and grandpa live in one of the shelters, buildings, and then that some of the kids will live. And there's often several different families, usually related, living in the same space. And I certainly don't live that way, and I don't think a lot of us do. So it's very different in that regards to what they call their home and what we call our home look and feel very different. And yet in some ways that there's a lot of the same things. It's that clearly they're proud of what they have, and they're gracious and eager to have you into their house. And so it's really neat to, you know, sometimes I'm struck when I'm here by how different everything is. And then other times I'm struck by just kind of how the sameness and some of these universal things of humanity that kind of underlying seem to come out. So
I know that when we were going on the day where we were kind of learning how to do the stoves, we were combined with another team and someone who has been here for 3 years in a row. And of course, it's our first time. He was like, this is like the nicest house I have been in here in 3 years. And, you know, I'm just going, I'm not sure what to expect on like day two and three, because it's like, it's a kind of all relative. And then, like, today, you know, we were, you know, in a home where the walls were, you know, bamboo, and then, like, very old, like, tethered wood, and cracks and holes and openness, and cats and chickens and kittens, like, all within the space of a 6-foot table. And they were so kind. You know, and they were thankful, and it just, you know, it kind of feels like an understatement or so cliche to say, you know, we have so much to be thankful for, but the truth of the matter is, you know, it's not necessarily the things in our lives that bring us the joy that we can have, but it's been so neat being here, being able to be a part of, you know, even just on the stove process, being able to add an easier quality of life, you know, just all the stats on like the smoke, we're helping the smoke go up and out because these people that the homes that we've been in, they are much better cooks than I am. And they're on their stove cooking more than I am. But just their thankfulness for these stoves, and then just going through the process of saying the prayer together with them. And oftentimes someone in the family is like in tears telling us how thankful they are. And it's just neat to be a part of.
Yeah.
I'm not on a stove team this year, but I've been on many stove teams over the years. And one of the things I remember the most, was a year that we're putting stoves in that was quite a ways from the village where, you know, our home base was, where we were doing donations and that type of thing. And we'd actually walked quite a ways to get there. And the grandmother, I believe she was the grandmother of the home, we were putting in the stove again. It was a, you know, multi-generational family situation with lots of different little shelters. And she asked me via the translator on our team if I had the same kind of stove as she did at home.
Oh, wow.
And it was extremely humbling because for her, that was just, you know, so far. The stove we were putting in is just so much greater than anything she's ever used before.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know what to say for a minute, so I told the translator to just tell her, no, mine is different. But it just, you know, there's such extremes in different levels of types of living here, even, you know, from place to place as we go. And, you know, some have access to technology and television, and some have electricity, and some do not. And some of these older women, they may not have been away from their home to see such things. So it was really, it kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't know how I would respond to that. Yeah, because you're saying that stove, which we think is pretty rudimentary. I mean, it's a huge advancement to what they're already cooking
right,
over.
Yeah.
But technology-wise, it's very rudimentary.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, it's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wondering if you've got something just as nice
for
you.
At my house.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's a really incredible story. Any other stories of what you've experienced? For you, those, I'm glad you shared that. You're not on the stove crew this year.
No.
You've been here many, many years. Others of you have, Michael, you and the other ladies here. Not that you're a lady. any other stories from this week or previous experiences here that you'd like to share as you've visited with the people of Guatemala? Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I would like to say something.
Yes.
I've never been on a stove team, but the stoves are amazing. And how many times in your life can you install something that not only is a time saver for the woman because she doesn't have to search for wood as much every week, and she can cook more efficiently, but it immediately improves their health because the smoke is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So many family members have respiratory issues and eye issues because the smoke settles in that room.
Mm.
That is now gone.
Yeah.
And you've just increased the health of every person in that room by putting that stove in.
I don't know, none of you mentioned it, but the first thing I always notice when I walk into a home here is how smoky it is when we get there. So I don't know if they cleared their previous stoves out earlier so that the rooms were clear of smoke when you put in the stoves, or were the houses smoky when you went in?
One we were in today, I noticed that they were still cooking over an open fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely noticed
it's smoky.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you wonder how they can live in that all day with that smoke just all around you.
Yeah, the first time we were in today, one of the children had a cough, and it could have just been anything, but the first thing I thought of was, I wonder if that's caused by smoke inhalation and if there's some respiratory issues. Could have been just a common cold like we all get, but we're certainly making a better health environment for them, regardless of why the child was coughing. So let's talk about some people that you've met here, and it could be people on our mission team or people that you've met along your walking around the city of, well, the various cities and towns we're in here in Guatemala, someone that you don't want to forget as you go back home, maybe to remind yourself of how good life is, or maybe the friendships that you've made that you hope to keep that connection with, you know, so anywhere, like I said, someone here in Guatemala or someone part of the mission team, a relationship or someone you've met that you want to remember.
I think the one person that stands out to me is Lillian. I mean, because if it wasn't for Lillian, we wouldn't be here. You know, we're here because of Sean, but as well. But if it wasn't for Lillian doing what she's doing, and you know, we wouldn't. None of us would be here helping because there would be no person running it. I mean, I can't even imagine the things that we don't see that she has to do behind the scenes, and you know, the probably 7 days a week, 24/7 of just thinking of different ways of helping the people in the village, and probably never thinks about herself, but I just can't imagine. I mean, I go to work and I come home and I'm like, oh, I gotta cook dinner. It's like, I can't even imagine all the different things she has to do. So I really admire her a lot.
I do too. She's the director of Corazon de los Niños, who is helping, you know, coordinate all of our efforts and get the families and the children identified. And she never looks tired, does she?
She's always happy.
Yeah. She's incredible.
And she'll be either, if she's crying, it's tears of joy, but she's always happy.
Anyone else?
I would say the mothers that volunteer, a lot is done before we show up. And all the volunteers that they have there, and these women aren't, you know, cutting into their gym time or you know, spa treatment or anything like that. A lot of them work. I mean, and they do everything in the home. And some of them have jobs. They're taking care of the kids. And they're devoting a day or that whole week to getting everything ready and supporting all the other volunteers. And I'm just amazed by that. That they're there, and they're, and as far as I'm concerned, I think they do far more work before we get there than what we do. But there, I always enjoy meeting the moms, and we're moms are moms everywhere. You do have that connection. We start talking about our kids, how old they are, how many do you have. So it's just a nice connection to make.
That's right. Can I just add one thing to that? It made me think of the moms that we have come in donations. Sometimes they have a ticket as well for themselves. But a lot of the moms I noticed this week, actually, instead of taking clothes for themselves, they're getting that extra ticket and they're just getting the clothes for their children. And it's like these moms do so much. And it's like this is their chance. You know, you can get a new pair of underwear or something, but they don't. They get something else for their child. So they really do sacrifice for their children a lot.
I had two things just kind of pop in my head. One, today I heard as we were getting ready to leave for vacation Bible school to come back to where we're staying, I loosely heard that the kids were waiting for food, and I didn't know, like, if that was something that who was providing the food, and I never saw food. But as we were getting ready to leave to get on the bus, I saw several people with, like, it looked almost like a half of a size of a croissant in like a cup. And I'm just guessing here, but I saw smoke coming up and it looked like it was soup. And, you know, and I'm just putting this together, and I saw lots of people with this. So it's like, I just, nobody had a, all we get is soup. Like no one had any, like there were just so many people that were just thankful that there was something that was there that they then had as a meal to eat. And another thing earlier this week that struck me, I was passing out craft paper for the craft. And I saw these two women that were holding young children under the ages of one. And I'm like, okay, I know the one-year-old, like, it's either half asleep or the mom was feeding the baby. So I knew the one-year-old was not wanting to do the craft. But one of the women, like, tapped me on the arm, and she was wanting the paper to do the craft. And then it's like it struck me for just a second. And everyone kind of, it's hard to guess how old people are. But I was like, these girls themselves were very likely young. you know, and I just kind of observed them over the next 20, 30 minutes. And they were just like, they were joyfully holding their babies. And they themselves, as the moms, were really enjoying the craft. Mm-hmm. And one of them, like, the baby was getting a little more squeamish, squeamish, moving around. And I was like, can I hold your baby? And she was like, sure. So I was like, yay, this is a win. I get to hold her baby. She gets the car. But anyway, it just kind of struck me. So even though I was telling Haley, I was like, if you're passing out crafts today and you see this young looking mom, like, it won't offend her, but make sure that, like, maybe they want to do the craft too. Mm-hmm. But it was just like this neat, again, just, you know, we get clothes from home and we involve our communities and we come here, mm-hmm. and we're here and we're meeting all of these people whom we don't know and building connections. But I think sometimes there are so many, maybe these are our core objectives of the things that we're ministering to. And then just little things like that happen. And I'm like, so many more people, I think, are being ministered to than maybe even is, like, on, like, our top radar. Mm-hmm. So it's just neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great story. Any other thoughts on that? Any final thoughts you'd like to share with anyone listening who might be interested in coming for a future mission? Or you want to give a shout out to anyone back home that made it possible for you to be here, or maybe didn't get to come this time for whatever reason?
I do.
Okay.
I want to give a shout out to Christina Nice, my daughter, my youngest daughter in Seattle, Washington. It's her 21st birthday today. And this is the first year in at least probably 12 years that she hasn't been here in Guatemala for her birthday.
Mm. Happy birthday, Christina.
Happy birthday. And I just want you to know that all week, this week and last week, everybody, the bus drivers, the hotel staff, the moms, Rosalba today is asking me about you and wanted to know how you were and saying they missed you. And everybody remembered it was your birthday, too. Wow.
That's right. That's really cool. Stuart mentioned a little bit of that, too. So mm-hmm. both of you guys thinking about your daughter here on her special day. That's great.
Well, Landon and I are just super grateful to Christ the Shepherd Lutheran Church for sponsoring us to come and have this experience.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. We, for anyone that is interested in coming, and finances are any hindrance or holdback, I would tell you that your community, I think, is more willing to support you than you might give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And we kind of created this Blue Jeans for Guatemala, like, campaign. That's kind of what I called it. I was trying to make it, like, simple because I didn't want to get a lot of the wrong donations, and I knew that the jeans were durable. And I just, like, made this graphic and I put it on Facebook and I said, we have this goal and we'd love for you to join us. And we got so many people that helped us financially raise our support. But so many people, even once we met that support, someone from the local newspaper said, can we feature you in the newspaper? Wow. Do you have enough jeans yet? And I was like, no, we don't have enough jeans. Please put it in the newspaper. And what totally just blew me away, I got this elderly lady that called from the newspaper, and she was just like very matter of fact in like 20 seconds. She was like, my mom just died. I have a lot going on. My health is terrible, but I think what you and your daughter are doing is great. Like, I don't know what PayPal is. Can I get your physical address and mail you a check? And I'm like, sure. You know, and I just thought that was so, so sweet. And I was like waiting to get a check in the mail for like $20. And this person whom we don't know at all mailed us a check for $200.
Wow.
And so we went, I was like, we're going to Target and we're buying socks and underwear. And we like filled the basket. And
that's great.
It was just, we have so many people back home that helped us be able to get here.
That's awesome.
But they are just as much excited to be able to hear us come back and tell about it. And I'm secretly praying that their hearts might be moved to actually come themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Wow. Well, I think that's a great way to end tonight's podcast. Thank you all for joining me this evening, and it's been great learning more about your stories and the impact that you're making here in Guatemala. And on behalf of Sean and Don Maurice, Lillian and Corazon de los Niños, thank you for your service to our Lord and to his children here in Guatemala. And thank you for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.